Today is the 2nd of March. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Good to see you. 2nd of March, 2010. And the reason most of you are in this mood that you're in, have you noticed this mood?
Dizzy.
Because Venus has just moved into Pisces.
Yay.
In the sky. If I can get a word in, I'll try to explain.
No, there's
way too much going on in this corner here. Okay, my turn. Venus has moved into Pisces, 1701 hours. Maharaj?
Yes, God.
Yes, I am.
Tiku.
And Venus is exalted in Pisces. And Venus will remain in Pisces until March 26th. That's not a long period of time. It's a little more than 3 weeks. So we can all be very happy because Venus is the planet of
love.
Love and joy and happiness and kindness and compassion and relations and relationships and understanding and charity, benevolence, unconditional love, loving beyond race, color, creed, and various other distinctions.
Ooh. Sorry.
And so Venus in Pisces comes once a year, and usually about a month, but in this case, roughly 3 weeks. Now, I'm not taking into consideration other planets as I speak, because other planets are in different situations that one would normally look at the full picture. But still, great time to have a party. If you're going to have a party or a get together or an evening out for some fun, some recreation, if you're going on a holiday anywhere, a fun type of holiday, Best time. If you're entering into a relationship or you're in the throes of cultivating a new relationship, I'm talking intimate relationship, but it goes for friendships as well. This would be a wonderful period, and it would be a wonderful period to begin the relationship because the force will be with you. If you're doing any artistic work, creative work, anything to do with beauty or design, renovation, building, improvement, if you're trying to inject beauty into your life, now's the time. So it's good for so many different things. Diplomacy. If you need to create peace, truce, in negotiation, arbitration, mediation, excellent time to do that. If you want to go into retreat and forget about all the lovey-dovey stuff, and just to go meditate on God, fantastic time. Pisces. And foreign trips, foreign connection, foreign travels, foreign business, foreigners, anything foreign could also go very well for you in this period. So enjoy the Venus. I honestly can definitely feel the Venus energy having shifted, you know. See all these bright, happy faces. So, that's part of what's going on. The planets about the middle of the month start, according to Vedic astrology, the lunar year. And that's when you want, if you want to calculate a the chart of a country and see how the country will do in the coming year, like Ireland, like the UK, like the US, like Canada, and how many gold medals they'll win in the Olympics. Go Canada. Then this is usually done about the middle of the month when lunation takes place. Lunation means when the sun and the moon reach exact degree. And that's when that happens. You take the capital of the country and you calculate the chart. And where the planets are will tell you how the year is going to unfold. Now, I didn't prepare that for you for this particular talk, although I have those calculations already done. As I've been saying now, tongue-in-cheek for the past year, if they would hold an election before mid-March, meaning in the UK or in Ireland, the incumbent party is sure to lose.
Yay.
But the incumbent party has managed not to hold any election in the last... because there's only a couple weeks left, so there's not going to be an election in the next 2 weeks. So we'll have to look at it fresh, from a fresh perspective. I know there are those of you who want the incumbent party to exit, and there are those who are maybe happy with what you have. Yeah. That was a real enthusiastic yay. Okay. Turning to the monthly planner. The monthly planner for March is out there floating. I hope I have enough copies out there. There are some real interesting things in the monthly planner for March. There's some there. Yeah, please. Not today. Today is a gray day. Today's Moon Saturn, even though it feels pretty good. I draw your attention to the 13th. The 13th Saturday,
wow.
It goes from bronze to gold at 6:34 in the morning. You see it there, Moon with Jupiter. So that is excellent. Then, of course, the Sunday, the 14th, will be gold. Then Monday, the 15th, it'll go from gold to gold. And Moon will be with the exalted Venus in Pisces in the sky. Look for that in the sky.
Before my birthday.
Perfect. That's excellent. So, you know, if you want to look up at the sky, for example, tonight, and if you can see the Moon, you'll see the Moon with Saturn. The little planet you see beside the Moon, sort of bluish, that'll be Saturn. On the 13th, you will see the Moon and Jupiter together in the sky for a couple days. But you'll see Venus right nearby, Venus, of course, being brighter. And then you'll see Moon moving closer and closer to Venus, and Moon will be with Venus. Well, you won't see it because it's the new moon. You won't see it at that time. But trust me, it'll be there. So that also is a gold. So you see, my friends, we have five gold days in a row. And those of you who have followed this for some time know that it is rare.
Very rare.
Very rare. Take full advantage. If there's something you need to launch, a new business, like I say here at the bottom, important work, business, or purchases, if you absolutely need to go buy yourself a new car or something like that, or a new house, or fill it with furniture, for example, those might be days doing it. It's a great day for, you know, just rule of thumb, signing papers. Now, I'm not giving you a bunch of details. I'm giving you rule of thumb. The best time to do things when you can't calculate the best time to do things, rule of thumb is when. What part of the day?
Midday.
When the sun is?
At its highest.
See? Day listening. So very good. Then it goes bronze for a couple days, and then it shifts into silver right after that. You see that? Mm-hmm. Into exalted moon in Taurus. Bronze to silver Saturday the 20th, Sunday the 21st, Monday it shifts, but not till the evening. Mm-hmm. It shifts to gray, moon K2. So pretty good, huh? Mm-hmm. A lot of good things there, so I encourage you to use it. Take advantage of it. Get just one more thing to make your life this much easier. Now, Kalindi and I, we...
Don't drag her in.
Not Kalindi, just me. We thought we would depart. Not depart physically. What are you talking about? You just flew in. What are you? You're the one who departed. Depart from our usual. We thought we'd do something different tonight, and inject a little entertainment. And maybe that's the Venus in Pisces. I wasn't even thinking about it at the time, but I'm going to. No, I'm not going to inflict that on you. I'm going to teach you a little bit, in as simple a manner as possible, Anga Vidya. Predicting prediction from limbs. Prediction from limbs. Limbs, limb. Let's talk about prediction and divination. What everybody wants to know is one thing. What's going to happen? Who wants to know that? Everybody. Throughout history. What's going to happen? We all do. And we can't exactly know what's going to happen. I mean, I want to know what's going to happen. So I spent 33 years doing astrology so I could figure out what's going to happen. There's different things you can do. You can do palmistry. Or maybe you just see it. It comes to you. There's different things. The science of mysticism and spiritual tradition in India, being the oldest and being the most comprehensive, has many amazing things to offer. So I'm going to touch on that, and then I'm going to show you something practical that you can learn even as we sit here this evening. The science of predicting through people touching limbs of the body. Didn't know you could do that, did you? Prior to introducing that, let me say a couple things. I went to Bangalore in South India in 1989. And I went to see this guy... trying to remember his name now. Might have been Shamasundar. It's a long time ago. Young guy. He was a third or fourth generation astrologer in India. And we went into... There was three of us, and we had come from America. And we went into his place, and there was a big sign. But all he did was question charts. He didn't do any horoscopes for anybody. He only did questions. And you could ask three questions, maximum. That's it. So We went in. The waiting room had 50 people in it. And somebody brought a chicken, and somebody brought a, you know, vegetable, and somebody brought a potatoes, and some they brought what they had. And Bangalore is a big city, but, you know, just people, they brought what they had. And we took one look at the queue, and we said, oh, my God, we're going to be here all day if we stay. And they said, no, you've come from so far away, please. Because we did come from a long way. So they let us in. They took us in ahead. And I sat down in front of the Jyotishi, the astrologer, and he said, so you have some questions? And I said, yeah, how many can I ask? He said, you can ask one, two, or three. I said, okay. My first question is, no. Don't tell me. I'll tell you. Okay. He said, here. He hands me paper, a pen, and an envelope. He says, just write. Question one, two, three. Fold, put inside. In the meantime, he's giving instructions to the servants who are running around here. So I write down three questions. Put them in, envelope, hand them. And he says, now I'm trying to remember what one of my questions was. One of them was,
when am I
going
to meet
Kalindi? No, that wasn't one of them at the time. I had written a book, and I said, is the book going to be published? Pardon me. So the first thing he said, he didn't look at it. See, your first question, he's looking at his papers, his calculations. He goes, your first question is about a book. You have made this book. And I said, yeah. And he said, this book is about a king. Way of kings. You're wanting to know if this book is going to be put in the book form, publish. And I said, yeah, that's it. Yes, no problem. It is coming. Wow. So in this way, he did all three questions. He got them all.
And that quickly.
Yeah, just one after the other, and he's referring to his calculations. And he opens, finally then, he takes the envelope, opens it up, reads it all. Yes, I have got them. Correct.
No
problem. Next.
You didn't do the head properly.
No.
Very important.
So, South Indian, a little different. So I got to chat with him a little bit later, and you know, I was blown away because I do question charts for people too, but usually they tell me what the question is. And so that just shows you the level. It's a whole other level, yeah. And he says, since I was a child, my grandfather was teaching me. My grandfather would go like this. He'd say, "What's in my hand?" And he'd calculate the chart. He'd say, "Oh, well, Jupiter is there, so it's round. It's a cylinder. Aspect by Mercury, green. It's green in color. And also, there's a Mars aspect. It's burnt. It's a green candle that's been burnt."
Wow.
He says, "Yes, green candle's been burnt. That's what you can do with astrology when you're on that level." And he was doing this as a boy. Yeah. So that's one system. There's another system called Bhrigu Sanghita. You probably heard of it in Asia. And Bhrigu is a sage. In fact, I was going to print a picture, and I'll In Hoshiarpur, right near where our friend comes from in the Punjab. You've heard this term, the Book of Life. And everybody's in the Book of Life, right? You've ever heard of that before?
Yeah.
Everybody's name is in the Book of Life. Well, in India, everybody's birth chart is in the Book of Life. It actually exists. I've seen it. I've held it. I've read it in the Sanskrit when they brought it down off the altar. So it's not a static book, it's a dynamic book. It changes. How can I explain that to you? I'm not sure how to explain it to you. But what if somebody wants, it does two things. It answers questions, like I explained with this gentleman in Bangalore, and it also has your birth chart, as many of you know what that's about. But it's not upon demand. It doesn't work that way. So you might write to them or call them and say, I'd like to get my birth chart done. I'd like to get what they call it, a full. A full means fruit or a result, a reading. I like to get a full. And then, you know, they will take the book. There's four stacks of books in there. They're palm leaf. Written on palm leaf. And they wrap them in silk, tie them in, and they're on the altar. They're worshipped. Because Bhrigu is worshipped. And he's a sage. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says that, you know, of aquatics, I am the shark. Of immovable things, I am the Himalaya. Among animals, I am the lion. Among sages, I am Bhrigu. So this is Bhrigu's book. So Krishna, or God and Bhrigu, are non-different. So there's four stacks of these. And then they look through them, each page, to find you or your question. Or they find something that says, tell this person to come on the bright fortnight of the month of Chaitra, and at that time, his full will be found. You won't find it on the days you're not supposed to find it. Right? But when you're invited at a certain time and you come, it will be found. That's how it works. It's dynamic. So I went there in 89. That was my second trip to India in 89. 89 was a big year there for me. And I had this Bhrigu fall, which was extraordinary. I won't get into the details of that, but I'll tell you a story about Bhrigu. There was a man who was a devotee of Bhrigu, and in India, and he was caught and charged for a crime which he did not commit, but it was a very serious crime, like murder. I don't know what it was. He was given the death penalty, so it had to be pretty serious. And the death penalty was hanging, and it was due to be carried out 2 weeks hence. And 2 weeks or a week or something like that. They were very expeditious. And naturally, you have any last requests? You want a phone call? And what's your favorite food? We'll feed you your last supper, yeah, in a phone call. So he called the Bhrigu place in Hoshiarpur, and because he had been there when he was free. He says, I don't understand what's going on. I never committed this crime. Please make ask Bhrigu what's happening to me. I'm at a loss. I'm about to be put to death. And here we go. Looking through the pages for this guy, trying to find something, you know. They call on the phone, and they found something. Tell so-and-so that is called from such-and-such that everything will be fine. It's no problem. He has nothing to worry about. And I will take care of it. So, the next morning, at sunrise, he's due to be hanged. You hear them walking toward your cell. They're coming for you. The sun's coming up. The two guards come. And there's somebody in the middle that they're escorting. It's the judge. Judges, my friends, don't go to the cell block. Have you ever heard of it? No. They don't. They don't go, "Nice knowing you." The judge was there. They opened up the cell door. And the judge said, "I had a dream last night. And this saint came to me, this sage. And he had white hair piled up on his head, saffron robes. And he said, 'You must not put this man to death, for he is innocent.' He says, 'I'm not quite sure why I'm doing this, but you're free to go.' And the guy looked. 'I'm what?' 'You're free to go.' He described Brigham. We have a painting of Brigham. That's what he looks like. So that's one of the stories around Brigham saving this guy. And then he went on to live, I guess, a happy and productive life.
Brigham and the stars, different?
Yeah. There's seven stars in the Big Dipper, we call it. Those seven stars are the seven sages, the seven mind-born sons of Brahma. In the Vedas, it's explained that stars are actually realized souls, and that's the light coming from them. That's their effulgence. That's what stars are. They're souls who have realized their potential spiritually. And you know how they paint the halo.
Are they raising the reincarnation?
No, not necessarily. They might be hanging out, you know. You have to understand that time is very relative, you know. So we might go through billions of years here, and there might be a year up there, you know, depending what level of time you're operating on. But all those stars are high beings. Else you wouldn't shine like that. It's another way to look at it. Okay. Adrian, you probably got a story or two. Adrian's a mystic from many years. Do you have anything to add to any of that?
No, not at present.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Anga Vidya. When a person comes to see you, I you know, this is kind of on astrology, but you'll get some use out of it in a minute. Hopefully. When a person comes to see you and asks you questions and you're trying to do a chart for them, it's you look at the chart, but you look at the person. And one of the things you definitely look at is you look at the omens. Now, in here, we do everything indoors. But in India, they do it all outdoors still. So you're seeing all kinds of different things happening. And with one person showing up with a chicken and this person showing up with this or that. Everything means something. You know, for example, I'll sit at my desk, I'm talking on the phone, and somebody's asking me about a relationship. And I'm seeing here, well, gee, it looks like the relationship will get back. Will it get back together? That looks really good. And two birds fly across my window like this. So what does that tell me? Yeah, there's my omen. You know, there's all kinds of things like that. So you watch for that. You know, you keep your eyes open for that. Some hair, some huge hair. It's about as big as a dog. Ran across the driveway the other day, you know. And a woman I was talking to on the phone was very fearful of something. Okay, now. When you're talking to somebody, I know you're not doing predictions for people, although some of you might be in some capacity. But in the classical text, the Brihat Samhita, which is a classical Sanskrit text, that's it. That's half of it. Sanskrit and English is in here. It's a Xerox copy. Yeah, I've read it a couple of times. Brihat. It tells you what'll happen if a person asks a question and they touch a particular limb. And just to keep it simple, the answer is yes, right away. It is yes after some time. Or it is no, forget it, won't happen. How do they do it? If they touch a masculine body part, which you may think you know what those mean. I'll have to tell you what they are in a minute. I made printouts for you, for all of you. If they touch a masculine body part, it means the effect will come right away, soon. It's a positive. If they touch a feminine body part, it means the effect will be realized, but after some time. And if they touch a neuter body part, didn't know you had any of them, did you? Then it will not happen. It won't happen. Okay? And if the limb that they touch is broken or emaciated, it will not happen. So if I go like this and ask a question... because I have a broken tailbone, it won't happen.
People are answering their own question.
Yeah, but they don't know it. Yeah, of course. It's a whole science. The science is called Anga Vidya, which means prediction from limbs. Anga means limbs. Vidya means science, knowledge, prediction. So today you're going to learn Anga Vidya. I'm going to hand these out to you in a minute after I tease you for a while. So here's my first test.
Then we touch the person on our right.
There will be no touching of your neighbor. It's yourself. Let's clear that up right now. Okay? Because I don't want to be carried away now. Okay.
One question they would ask you, and then touch a tailbone.
Yeah, no, like this, Darren. I wonder if that house will sell.
Okay?
What did I just do? Yeah, okay, I touched my knees, but forget my knees. Oh, I wonder if that house will sell. So I touched my face, clearly, right? That's my first question. I wonder if that guy's going to sell me that car. What am I touching?
Your ear.
Okay. Give me another question.
Will I lose my job?
Will I lose my job? Okay, you got them all now? Okay, I'm going to hand these to you in a minute. And then you'll get a real kick out of it. Now, you're going to have three pages in front of you. One of them is, first one is the male body parts. The second page are the female body parts. And the third page are the neuter body parts. Okay? So the first thing I did is I touched my face. I went like this and I said, is the house going to sell? Is that what I said? Mm-hmm. And the face is a neuter. So the answer is
no.
Ain't going to sell. Now how can you use this? Now you can't do it for yourself having knowing this, but if you're perceptive enough, when somebody says something, if you learn this, you'll be able to determine the outcome. So that's what I'm inviting you to do. Okay, then the second thing I said, I did this inside my ear. I guess I used my ears twice, but... And what did I ask the second time? Will that guy sell me that car?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, the inside of the ear is masculine. This inside of the ear is masculine. So, yes, he'll sell me the car. This part of the ear, the edge and the lobe, is feminine. What's the third question?
Lose
my job. Yes. After some time. That's the answer. Okay? Now, I preface this before I give these to you by saying one thing. The pictures you can get on Google are limited. So enjoy yourselves at my expense here. So pass those around. I printed 22. I don't know how many people are here. Okay, do we have enough or what? Okay, can some people share? Is it better with this big light on?
Sometimes either way.
Okay. So, first page. Male body parts. I hope this is not too risque for some of you here. The hair. The cheeks. Now, the face. The whole face is neuter, but the cheeks is masculine. The inner part of the ear. Inner part means any inner part of the ear. Yeah?
Yeah, somebody done this.
Yeah, like this, but even in here is the inner part of the ear, right? Mm-hmm. Even here. Mm-hmm. Right? That's all masculine. Lips and teeth. So masculine means positive, right? It said anus. I showed you anus. Hopefully they're not doing that in front of you. But we've all seen it. We've all seen somebody do it, okay?
It's a yes.
So if you do it, it's a yes. Okay. And now let's look at your man here. Throat is positive. Now, shoulders, why breasts are masculine, I do not know.
Men love it.
Throat, shoulders, arms, hands, nails, and thumbs are masculine. Thumbs are masculine. Fingers are feminine. Thumbs are masculine. Big toes are masculine. The rest of the toes are feminine. Okay?
Does that include the knee as well?
No, the knee is actually separate.
Okay.
So feet and big toes are masculine. Testicles are masculine. Penis is neuter. Armpits are masculine. So anyway, I mean, you can see what it all is. So let's go on to the feminine. You'll see I have chosen Wonder Woman. Because that is the only line drawing I could find. It was Wonder Woman.
Very demure.
Yeah, she's very demure.
She's
cute. No, no, she's dressed.
She has her gear on.
She's got a Wonder Woman gear on. Now, notice the edge and lobe of the ear are feminine. And so, as we said, these body parts give delayed positive results. Eyebrows, nose, and tongue are feminine. But the lips and teeth... No, somebody will go like this.
Really?
Sometimes people do that. Or maybe go like this. So now you're showing your tongue.
Okay.
People do that.
Yeah.
I saw a guy on the Olympics the other day going. You win a prize. Neck and the nape of the neck are feminine, but the throat is masculine. Hips and buttocks, feminine, as it should be. Vagina is feminine. I did not put the star there. Legs are feminine. Rear of knees. Rear, behind the knee is feminine. People that stretch behind the knee, yes. Right. Heels are feminine. It says lines in the palm, but you know, inner hand would be feminine. I mean, you go like this, no? Scratch. Or in Ireland they do this. This is real big in Ireland. Eh? Isn't it? So that means I'm gonna get. Yeah, you're gonna get it, buddy. It's gonna be a while though. And stomach and navel is feminine. All fingers except the thumb. Feminine's kind of an easy one to grasp. And then the neuter guy.
Which I think should have been Superman.
Yeah, it should have been Superman, yeah.
Not really a man.
So eye, the whole face. So that's why I did this, you know.
Yeah.
See, here, well, if you just hear, that's cheek. So that's masculine. Yeah, or like this.
So what if you're touching your hair on your head? Because that's the constriction.
The hair.
The hair.
No. I didn't put in head. I didn't put in head here, did I?
Head and forehead.
Well, head and forehead, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
there, whatever, yeah.
I don't know. You'll have to figure that one out. Jaws and palate. I don't know how you're going to touch your palate, but... chest and heart. Heart and chest, neutral. Collarbone. Sides. Sides is neutral. Penis, I told you that. Has anybody had any personal experiences? Communion with the gods? Breakthroughs? Revelations, synchronistic experiences that you want to share with us?
I'll give you a very good advertisement. The day after I came to my reading with you, I got a job offer.
Oh, great.
And that was something that had kind of come up, that might be good career prospects.
Very good.
And it's completely added to the item taken.
Are you taking it or you don't know?
Yeah, it's only one morning a week, so it totally fits in with my timetable. It works out, I was free that morning anyway. So yeah.
Very good. Cheer up.
Well, I would just recommend
prayer. It was one of those prayer I threw it out there and just forgot about it, but which I notice when I do that, things just here. So I just sort of sent out this prayer to the universe, to the gods, to say, you know, I really would love to be more visible in my work. And within 3 days, I got 4 requests to do work at a corporate level, which I've been waiting for a long time, so suddenly it started to fall into place. 4, and I'm talking fairly considerable contracts that will keep me happy for a while. So that was quite a powerful thing. And I kind of went, oh, this stuff really does work when you ask and shall receive.
That's excellent. So the corporate people are still hiring.
Yes, I am.
I have a good story about.
Please.
I was running a yoga studio last year, but I was done only on half the timetable because I shared it with a physiotherapist. And she unexpectedly asked me to leave before Christmas because she wanted to take the whole timetable back to herself. So I was kind of homeless without anywhere to continue with my business. And kindly, I was being supported by other yoga studios in Dublin to hold my own classes. And one of the studios that I walked into was a new studio, and it was just had this magical kind of feel to it. And I was like, wow, I'd love to find something like this, but over in the area that I'm looking at. And I'd looked at 2 places that I loved, but they had fallen through, and both of the times that they fell through, I was like, oh, you know, really upset. But the third place I found was exactly the same layout as her place. It was a Georgian building. And the exact same size, windows, except the view is much more beautiful.
Not in the lower?
No, second floor.
Oh, excellent.
Wow. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that's all happening.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
And did you have your chat done in the bedroom?
Yes.
Good.
And you go.
My boyfriend was looking for a new job because he, within 18 months, he was with a different employer and he wasn't very fair and didn't treat him very well. But anyway, so I said to him, right, well, I'll make a little offering to Ganesh. So I got to Easter eggs and Ganesh.
So Ganesh told you that Easter eggs were his preference, did he?
Yeah,
he likes
brownies.
Yeah, he does.
Pretty much.
He's like a little dude. Yeah, very good. And he likes sweets.
Yeah. So I forgot about them. And he went for his interview, and he said when he was going down there, he said like he saw one magpie, and I was like, no, sometimes magpies I find one, you know, one could be good luck. And he goes, no, the interview was crap. And then he got really sick for a week, and because he really convinced himself that the interview was rubbish. And also, when I was talking to Ganesh, I was like, it'd be great, you know, if he gets a new job that treats him really well, and that he's appreciated, and also that starts on the 15th of February because it was double gold. So what happened was about 2 weeks later he got a call saying like we'd like to employ you, and the interview went really well. Oh yeah, because they said what would make you different from the rest of the clients, and he just said, because he knew, he just thought the interview's gone rubbish, so he said blue space eating blue bananas. Blue banana space eating monkeys.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
You're
so silly,
Ken.
So
he got a
great thing was, he started.
So that's the trick.
Space eating bananas. It's in February.
Wow.
So I ate these
things.
Very good. Thoroughly lovely. Well done. Sorry, can I just add to my story?
Why not?
So the thing I've been working with is around value, like what the work I do and the value attached to it. So I just decided that this is what I charge. That's it. I don't care if you like it or you love it. So this particular company, anyway, who were coming over, they're bringing up a huge team of salespeople over. So I did this proposal, and I just said, we did it my intention. I really want, this will be really good for your team, etc. And I said, he's just going to pick me, that's it. And he came back and he said, you know, we're going to go with you, even if we are the most expensive.
Wow.
And I thought, so what's changed on the inside is the value I associate with my work has shifted.
Correct.
Mm. Now it's starting.
And well done, because that's really hard to do in a recession, you know.
Yeah,
another client, what happened was they came back to me and said, no, we only want to do it at this level. And I said, I'm really sorry, I obviously haven't communicated the value of what I can bring to your company. So let me just give you a quick synopsis. Oh, no, no problem. We're going to pay. We just always ask, can we get a discount?
I went into, Clindy and I went into an art gallery on Wicklow Street. We had bought a painting there one time. Mm-hmm. And this is mostly Irish artists, but really good ones. Mm-hmm. And the paintings are very expensive there, largely.
One off the Central Hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pat?
Pat off of the James Gallery.
Correct, the James Gallery. Exactly. So I said to him, we're looking around, and of course he has fabulous paintings there. And I said, and it was the gentleman that runs the place, Pat, yeah. And I said, so how is the recession affecting you? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, is it having any negative effect? He says, oh, well, I wouldn't entertain that for a moment. He said, if I would entertain thoughts like that, I wouldn't be in business all these years. I know what I have here. Recessions come, recessions go. So, I mean, he doesn't even go there in his mind. You know, if Kalindi and I, we joke, we're at a Dundrum Shopping Center, 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, because you go early and then you can get out. By 10 a.m., when we were leaving, the place was jammed. You could barely find a parking place. You can barely get out of your parking place. Here's your recession. Mm-hmm. What are these people doing there?
Sure.
So there's a recession, but there isn't a recession. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like there, yes. On the one hand, yes, it's going on. On the other hand, quite the opposite's going on. It depends what you believe and what are you going to identify what's the dark or the light?
I find it really interesting, this whole recession thing. If I look around at the people that I know personally who have lost jobs and things like that, people who have lost their jobs that I know of have either been staying for ages, they wanted to get out of their job, they hated their job, they didn't want to be there, they wish they could leave. All of them. Yeah. And then the people who really enjoy what they're doing and like, you know, have some form of appreciation for what they're doing,
that's
still at their job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And money is just another form of energy exchange. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if it's not gone into dollars and papers, it's gone somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It doesn't stay stagnant.
Exactly. Anybody else have a story for us?
So, really, what's the difference between being optimistic and overconfident in that case? Yeah, because there was an article in the Mail, they say that, and what happened in the USA about this profiting, they just show them, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to this and this, everybody's so happy, looking forward for their future, their investment, everything, and then suddenly, crash.
So, there's a difference, that's greed as well, I think greed took over.
Yeah, how realistic.
It's false.
It was false.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. When you're in truth, when you're in integrity, when you're trying to be honest and try to give for a fair exchange, or you know, do what you say you're going to do, give the value for the for what you're going to get. And what's the statement I put on the blog the other day? It's when you can look back on your achievements and be satisfied with the way in which those things were achieved, what you did to achieve them, and still be happy, then those are your true achievements. So integrity is very important. Making money for the sake of money and offering little or no service in exchange, just trying to make money, really offers nothing. And especially if you're trying to swindle people or somehow, you know, shortchange them or cheat them. All that kind of stuff catches up with you.
The boomerang effect.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's tremendous lack of integrity in the banking industry, in stock markets, and in, you know, investments, in politics.
Pharmaceutical, medical.
Just, you know, these people are, God bless them, riddled with disingenuous motives. That stuff has to blow up in your face sooner or later. So the more
I think
you
that was some realized, you know.
Pardon?
I don't think that everyone in the medical industry realizes the falsity that, you know.
People who,
I think that's the point.
Unless you have some realization and some understanding, you think you have to grab and take what you can get when you can get it, because there's only so much to go around it. If I don't grab and take it, someone else will. So that's a belief in lack. And I, you know, if this is here, I'd better grab it before you do, or else I'm going to be short. And that creates greed, and that's propelled by fear.
And it's contagious.
And
so the other guy decides, well, I better get it before he gets it.
Exactly.
It's like running away from something. If there's tons of people running one direction, and you see three people running in the other direction, you don't look at what's coming, you just turn around and follow them. But they've done some studies where people have literally just five or six people have run into a crowd, and without any explanation, the entire crowd runs with the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Followers.
Yeah, well, my rule of thumb in my lifetime has been, if this is where the crowds are going, chances are you should be going that way. Honestly. So you need to be in your own integrity. Because if you're not, you will get caught out sooner or later. Guaranteed. And fear will also undermine you.
Can I just say about that running with the crowds, the whole property problem in Ireland, about everyone I know trying to own a property by the time they were 30, and now they
or
are
two or three
sinking in mortgages and they can't cope, and their houses are worth 50% of what they bought them for, and they could barely afford them at the time.
Yeah, even. They have negative equity.
And it was like everyone, and this is a Dublin thing, everyone in Dublin was doing it, so everyone else had to do it. And if they didn't do it, they were out of the loop. And the people can't handle being out of the loop and doing their own thing, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
So do I.
Okay.
The lesson today
is always living your truth. Each day, it is incumbent upon you to take one step closer to your own truth. One step. It doesn't have to be a big step. Closer to your own integrity. Integrity offers integration. Dishonesty creates disintegration, and things will follow fall apart before long. You can charge whatever you want to charge for your service, but you must deliver the value of that fee. Because if you don't, you know, you won't be charging it because no one will come. It's not about the amount. It's about delivering the value. And if you don't believe
it, you measure the value.
Well, you measure the value. You're the one who measures the value.
But isn't it the value agreed by both parties?
Yes, and the marketplace has to accept that.
And then you must deliver, and I actually always say under-promise and over-deliver.
Perfect. You must deliver.
If you look at solicitor, they charge you for reading documents. He said, I charge 500 and something per hour because I'm a partner in a firm. And I said, well, you don't have to read it. Give it to someone else. I'd rather pay someone else. I'm going to read it and give me the full delivery because that's what I find with solicitors. They just send big bills and say, well, I'm a partner, so this is my bill, 500 and something. I respect, you know, their bill, but I just don't want to pay 500 and something for you as a partner. I'll pay your secretary to read it. I'll pay her cheaper. What does she earn now?
Probably the meal you buy me coffee.
Yeah, well, you know, the big law firms are notorious for false billing. My friend in Seattle.
Are they not all, excuse my language, screwing each other, really? It's the big firms go for the big law firms. They're
Screwing.
Natural firm using a law firm, they're all getting this. They're all involved with each other, you know.
So I had a friend, I still have him, my friend in Seattle. And when all this sort of phone stuff came out, where you could chat online with people and flirt and make dates, and when it first came in, which is somewhere in the 90s, he was earning $1 to $2 million a month gross income. And he educated me in various ways. And one of the ways he educated me was he had a full-time employee reading the phone bills. He had a full-time employee paid full-time to read every line of every phone bill. His phone bills were in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. He had these phone lines in 24 cities in America. Right? A lot of phone calls. The phone companies are programmed to cheat you. It is a tenet of how they do business. They will cheat you, at least in America. Not so sure here. Here they do it in different ways. But in America, they will have false billing. So he had to go through everything. And he saved, you know, he'd save anywhere from $50,000 to $150,000 a month.
Wow.
False charges.
It happens here as well, actually.
So you see, this is they do these things.
I just had a case last week with Vodafone. My phone bill is huge, and I just complain. And a lot of people say, "Oh, why didn't you question?"
Talk to Siobhan.
And I, well, Vodafone, they've sorted out. I went to them and I said, "I'm taking my phone to O2 because I have a business plan, and in O2 I can now ring any mobile phone in Ireland." And taxes and landline for 120, I think. And so I'm going to vote for the O2. And I'm like, oh, well, sorry, we can give you the same offer. My phone bill a month is about 800.
Wow.
From yesterday, 28th, they've now changed me to 128. I can't ring anyone. Because I trust you.
Because
yeah, but then they said, oh, we've had this plan for a long time, and I said, I've had this number for 14 years. You're just telling me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's meditate. We won't meditate on phone bills.
It's a 10-cent charge for a minute. Any minute.
Yes, we charge by the minute.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. Breathe, relax, and let go. Totally, deeply breathe. Relax and let go. Allow the stress, tension, fear, and apprehension to drain from your body. Totally, completely. Relax, breathe, and let go. High above, a beautiful beam of radiant pearl-white light descends from the heavens, down, down, all the way down, entering through the top of your head, expanding throughout your head, torso, arms, legs, out the bottom of your feet, and into the earth below. Breathe, relax, and let go. See and feel yourself by means of this light, connected to the heavens above, and grounded in the earth below. Relax, breathe, and let go. You're in a beautiful place in nature. Very peaceful, calm. Sounds of nature, birds, fragrant breeze, some flowers, some trees, whatever you see. You're in a calm and peaceful state of mind, sitting on the grass. In comes a person with whom you have recently had some difficulty, something that needs to be resolved. And the person sits opposite you, you greet them. And they ask something of you. What do they ask? And as they ask this question that is important for them, where do they touch themselves? Don't choose the place. Let it happen. organically in your meditation. What is your response to their question? What do you agree or disagree to do? And how do they respond to your answer? Thank them. We'll end it there. If you haven't finished doing these steps, please continue until you do. And when you're ready, returning to consciousness, awakening, feeling refreshed, relaxed, and that peace. What did you find out? We put your Anga Vidya to work for you there.
Cheek.
Touch the cheek. Anybody want to share the...
Someone asked for forgiveness.
Someone asked for forgiveness?
Asked me for forgiveness. And the first thing he did was, I was sitting on the chair and I was lying down on the grass. And the first thing he did was touch his stomach.
Uh-huh. They asked you for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And they touched their stomach. Yeah. So that means you're going to give them forgiveness. Yeah. But it'll take some time.
Well, I thought I already forgive them.
You thought you already did forgive them.
Yeah.
But they feel like you haven't.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
If somebody has a thin hair and going to bald, right, and it's doing like that. So it's hair or the head?
Well, I would think it's both, but I'd say hair.
Hair.
You know, this is head. Isn't it? This is head. That's head. Hair. That's hair. Different.
Because they asked me a why question and touched their knee. And when I gave the answer, they went right there.
Okay, knee is what? Is that neuter? So they asked you a question, they touched the knee, which means it's not likely to take place.
Or that wasn't actually what happened.
It wasn't a yes no question, though.
No.
What? You're not going to tell us what the question is. You're going
to
keep... Yeah, okay.
Well, just
and then you answered?
I said, basically, the question was, why did you do F?
Okay.
And that they put their hand on their knee. So I'm sitting there going, oh, okay. So I answered based on what I felt. And then they...
But they're asking a question about you.
Yeah.
This really... is about themselves. That's how this is supposed to work.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a question about themselves, not about you.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it could be like this. Will you forgive me? So that does bring you into it, but it's... Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it as much as you like. Anybody else?
Yeah, I was wondering...
Okay.
After me, could I give them more time and they work their nose right to the left?
Yes, nose is feminine, yeah?
Yeah.
So that means yes, later.
And then they rub their hair when they hang it over. That's more positive, isn't it? That wouldn't be as long.
Well, it's really, it's what they touch when they ask the question. Not the 15 body parts they touch afterward. It's during the question.
Yeah, but I said yes, and then their response afterwards.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's it's really about what you're doing when the question's being asked. Anyway, I mean, I know this will appeal to some of you and some not. But you're welcome to.
Thank you. Yeah.
Put it to the test and experiment with it.
How would you divide the difference between touching chest and touching breast? Chest further up?
Chest is further up. Most people would rarely touch their breast.
Really?
Men or women.
Yeah,
if you're scratching, yeah, then you would, yeah. Women don't normally do this in public. Men might do this in public, but not women. Now, I mean, if you want to use the reverse psychology, you can do what's the masculine one here? Yeah, so when are you going to hire me? And turn it around. Yeah, do get all your masculine moves down. And yeah, what did you think? Didn't I do a great job in that report? I don't know if it'll work.
Yeah, great.
I definitely think I need a raise, don't you?
You could say, you're very funny sound when you do this. I'll do that and then ask your question. Yes, so I'm getting that raise.
No, I'm just preparing for when you yell at me. All right. Okay, enough, Salinas. Thank you so much.
Om Tat Sat.
Hare Krishna.